After an event, I often ask participants to evaluate me. 99% of the evaluations are highly positive. Occasionally, I receive negative feedback. When I do, I'm amazed at how it looms so great in my mind. Why on earth, amidst all this encouragement, would I discourage myself? Many of us process the world in the same way, emphasizing the negative and devaluing the positive. In this session, we will learn effective ways to encourage children so they may grow up free from these harmful false perceptions. Specifically, we will learn how to notice instead of judge so that every child feels seen. We will learn to teach children how to be helpful, compassionate members of a group. And finally, we will learn the empowering strength of You Did It. Welcome to Session 6, The Skill of Encouragement. It is the first skill on our second block about connection. So here's how we're going to start. Jenny, would you come play with me? So the song is encouraging words. So we're going to go, I got encouraging words in my mind. And you're just going to keep crossing the midline like this and tapping the other side of your foot. Then it's going to go, a part it's going to say, that's what I can say to you. Now that's your little joy juice moment. Say to you. And then you go, you can do it, is what I say. The next verse goes, way to go, you did it, is what I say. And the third verse is, I wish you well. That's what I say. Okay, everybody up. Listen to the words, we can do this. So you start out crossing.
I've got encouraging words in my mind. Share them all with you.
You can do it,
is what I say.
You can do it,
is what I say.
You can do it,
is what I say. That's what I say to you. I got encouraging words.
There we go.
In my mind, I got encouraging words. In my mind. Share them all with you.
Way to go.
You did it.
Is what I say.
Way to go.
You did it.
Is what I say.
Way to go.
You did it.
Is what I say. That's what I say to you. I've got encouraging words. In my mind, I got encouraging words. In my mind.
Once again, we have the little joy juice clap going on here. All right, now, let's pretend. What if we just made this up and we pretended that you here in the audience, on this side, you're going to be parts of a body. So let's pretend we're all in the same body. You guys are kidney cells. You guys over here are heart cells. All right, now it seems it wouldn't make much sense for the heart cells to go to the kidney cells. I hate you. What's wrong with you? I'm not interested in being around you. That would make us all sick. Does that make sense? So it would seem better if we were all in the same, if we were cells in one giant body. It would make sense if some cells had a more compassionate view of the other ones and go, all right, we're all in this together. Let's work together. And if you're not doing so well, come on now. I'm your best cheerleader. For now, let's go to the skill of encouragement, which comes from the power, we're all in this together, which basically says that pretend scenario that I just made up is, to some degree, very true. So it goes, again, as we've mentioned throughout this series, we're moving from the us and them to this we in unity. And I call that a compassionate view because we're looking through the lens of interconnected. Most of us, and see if you recognize this, most of us have a view of humanity that's been passed down from generation to generation that says at the core of us, we're selfish and greedy. Anybody heard that? And not only that, competition is the basis of everything and war is inevitable. Has anybody heard that? Okay, now we continue to believe that despite abundance of research that says, you know, that's not who we are. It says the survival of the fittest never meant the meanest, baddest dog in the yard. It meant the one most able to adapt to its environment and the one who can most likely cooperate with all those in it. That's the survival of the fittest. So I want you to watch this next video, and I want you to see how we are literally, literally wired to view the world in a very compassionate way and to be of service, to see people who are helpful, to see people being of service. Is that one of our most genetic embedded skills that we have? We're gonna watch a video of some research with a 3-month-old. So watch this video.
Does Wesley here, at the ripe old age of 5 months, know the difference between right and wrong? Wesley watches as the puppet in the center struggles to open up a box with a toy inside. The puppy in the yellow shirt comes over and lends a hand. Then the scene repeats itself, but this time the puppy in the blue shirt comes and slams the box shut. Nice behavior? Mean behavior. At least to our eyes. But is that how a 5-month-old sees it? And does he have a preference?
Wesley, do you remember these guys from the show?
To find out, a researcher who doesn't know which puppet was nice and which was mean offers Wesley a choice.
Who do you like?
He can't answer, but he can reach.
That one.
Wesley chose the good guy, and he wasn't alone.
That one.
More than 3/4 of the babies tested reached for the nice puppet.
That one.
Wynn tried it out on even younger babies, 3-month-olds, who can't control their arms enough to reach. But they can vote with their eyes, since research has shown that even very young babies look longer at things they like.
Which one do you like?
Daisy here looked at the mean puppet for 5 seconds, then switched to the nice one for 33.
Babies, even at 3 months, looked towards the nice character and looked hardly at all, much, much, much shorter times, towards the unhelpful character.
So as early as 3 months, being of service is recognized. So being of service is genetically within us all. And what we can watch inside the brain is when we are helpful, when we are being of service, that it stimulates the reward centers in our brain and actually emits feel-good chemicals, similar to, but not exactly the same, as the joy juice you get from face-to-face connection. It turns off the fight-or-flight part of the brain and, in doing so, starts regulating the clacker. Helping others will regulate a clacker that's out of sync. It produces the hormone oxytocin, which again is that moral molecule that builds social trust, asks us to bond together. And it actually increases our physical health, especially reduces your risk of heart attacks. Now, It doesn't get any better than that, so let's just all get up and go help somebody. Well, watch this young boy. This is a young boy from Montana, and he had many, many behavioral issues. And so the school, instead of seeing him as bad and punishing him, trying to punish him down this way, decided, how could we help him move and organize his brain so he could come up here, knew this information. They said, so this boy had many, many issues. He did have some medication. And so they said, how can we create a situation where he is more helpful than the average Joe? Watch him explain this and watch his consciousness about his own self.
My name is Ruben, and I have jobs at Upright Creek. When I come inside, I go and visit the nurse, and then I have a job for office helper, so I help Mrs. Ponce. And then I help on Tuesday. I do puzzles, and then on Wednesday I go over to the library and help Mrs. Meyer. And then the next day I go and I'm office helper. And then on the last day on Friday, and I like helping with them because I care about them, and I like doing it because it helps me not be mean to people.
It helps me not be mean to people. He's very conscious of what he's doing, and he's very conscious of how this helps him. So our job description that we shifted from my job is to make you behave, we shifted to my job is to keep it safe, and your job is to help keep it safe. So basically we have announced in our home, we've announced in our schools, your job is to be helpful. That's basically what we're saying. Whatever it is to be helpful, which goes against what we've traditionally done, was you keep your eyes on your paper, you worry about your own self. You hear what I'm saying? Just sit there and focus on yourself and get your work done. This says, not in the school family. We're going to help all of us be successful. The power of unity. All of us are going to be successful. How do I help Reuben be successful in the school? How do all the other kids help Reuben be successful? How does Reuben help Reuben be successful? So that is our new job description. Now, encouragement, we have structures that help do this. One of them is the kindness tree. So the kindness tree is a simple structure in the classroom that says when you see someone being helpful, because now I want you to see it a lot. See, just by seeing people be helpful, look what it does to the brain. Look what it does to a little baby. So I want us all to start seeing this. Now, it's easy to see when someone hits each other. It's easy to see when someone pushes each other because that's a survival part of our brain going, oh my gosh, it could be a snake. You know, so we are orientated to go like this. And so now we're going to use the higher centers of our brain to shift that focus because luckily we're not in a school or a home that's full of snakes and wolves anymore. We have the luxury. Actually, it's the opportunity to do it differently. So we're going to start trying to train our brain to see the helpful. That's the kindness tree. So when you see someone doing something helpful, you come up, you simply put a heart on the kindness tree. It's not about catching them being good. It's not about writing their name on it and, oh, look, I got one. And the kids know this. It's just about this is our job. And so you come up, you see it, and you put it here. Now, it's interesting that often with adults, they go, you know, I don't have time for that. I'm like, I tell you what, if I walked over here and asked Jenny and Mindy to come up and slapped them both, y'all would all have a lot of time. Y'all be on your phone. That would be a viral thing going on all over the whole world. You'd go, no, I have time. Let me go. When you go to the bathroom, you'd be talking about it. You wouldn't believe what she did today. She slapped somebody. You'd be texting it to people. You'd be going, oh, gosh. And it'd be all over the world. We have time to talk about it. We have time to tell people about it. We have time to say, have anybody else seen anything like this? We have time to put it on the daggone news. But we don't have time to start looking at it, come over here and go, bam, let's put a heart on the tree. The other structure we have is the job board. It says we're all in this together. Everyone needs to help each other. So you need to contribute to our school family. So we have a job board. Everyone has a job in the classroom. It used to be you'd have four special jobs, four special ones. So you'd have, and you got to be good to be there. Or you rotated them. Okay, well, next October, you're going to be the line leader. You know, it's like, oh, good. I hope I live that long. So these jobs are on your job board. Every person has one. And then usually weekly, you just rotate your jobs. And this is Paula. This is actually the jobs. These people actually work in my office, so we do this at the office. We also have a ways to be helpful board. Again, putting images up there, all those pictures. Remember, all that energy comes up to the right hemisphere. The right hemisphere is the seed and the start of self-regulation, and it loves the images because we're governed by images. So we have a ways to be helpful board and just a lot of pictures of how to be helpful. You make them into books of how to be helpful. So here is some pictures of a bulletin board you can see of how to be helpful. Look how, and this was in a cafeteria in a school. These are a zillion ways you can be helpful in the cafeteria. This is at home. This is in the Bernard family, ways to be helpful. And it says we put the dirty clothes in the hamper, and that is helpful. So you do this at home. You do this at school. Constant focus on being helpful. And again, you make books that you read over and over again. Do y'all see what we're doing when we're doing that? Every time you read about being helpful, every time you see about being helpful, every time you are helpful, and every time you focus on helpful, you're getting these brain chemicals that are like, yeah, baby. And everybody starts clapping. Well, I don't know if they clap or not, but. So this power of unity supports the foundation of the school family. Now, we started with that song, right? And I've got encouraging words. I started with that because amazingly, we have tried to praise and encourage children in ways that actually have been harmful. If you think back in the day, we had the whole thing about the good job. Well, first we had good boy, and then we said, oh, well, maybe it's a good job. So we moved from good boy to good job or good girl to good job. And what we thought we needed to do was tell children how great they are. Right? We had books, as I've mentioned earlier, 101 ways to tell your child how great they are. And what we were doing is, like, if you can imagine, you know, one of those air pumps where you blow things up from the outside, it's like, okay, I'm over here, I'm the master of your self-esteem, right? And I'm going to pump it up inside you. So I'm over here going, boy, you're great. You're so, oh, man, awesome. You are the best there is. Oh, man. We're going to give you a certificate about how great you are. And, oh, no, you're even better than everyone else. This is the number one. And we're pumping them up from the outside so that the child feels self-esteem in the inside. Does that make sense? Yeah, okay. So what we're in essence doing is saying there's things outside of you that you need to make you feel good on the inside. I'm going to say that again so you can hear what I'm going to do. We are saying something outside of you is required to make you feel good on the inside. That is not building self-esteem. That's the prerequisite for all addictions. Every one of them. And it also aims you in the direction of addiction, or it aims you in the direction of narcissism, that it's all about me. And if we look back, because that kind of lasted about 20 years in our society, if you look back, can you see the remnants or the consequence of that in our society now? Where we have, and I think people even call it, oh, it's the me generation. Well, we all contributed to the me generation. Now, they just weren't born and go out, hey, I'm part of the me. We've been building this. And now we're going to shift it from the me generation once again to the we generation. So how do we do this? How do we get this encouraging classroom where we're building it? First, we started with composure, right? Breathe enough so you can see it differently. Breathe enough so you can access your little heart-shaped glasses so you can focus on what you want, so you can be assertive and focus on what you want. And when you focus on what you want, And you start aiming in that direction, each little baby step. You can go, yay, woo, you're doing it. You did it, look at you, woo, way to go. So if you focus on what you want, like think of a football game. The goal is to get down there across the line. And, you know, we don't sit quietly at a football game until they actually get across the line, and then we go, oh, yay, our team scored. No, I mean, we're over here going nuts for 6 inches. Hey, there's only 6 inches left. We can do it. Ah! You know, hundreds of thousands of people are going, oh, it's 6 inches. And then, oh, yay, they made it. After they unpile the bodies, you know, they figure out if it worked or not. This is what we want classrooms, but you can't have an encouraging classroom unless you focus on what you want. Historically, we focused on what we don't want, so every step of the way, we discourage children. Every step. Now, we also have this principle. What I offer to others, I strengthen in myself. So this is a beautiful principle. What I offer to others, I strengthen in myself. So when I discourage kids, I'm discouraging me. When I encourage kids, I encourage me. So again, we can bring a little more energy, hope, and love back in our life just by being encouraging. It's a pretty cool thing. So now let's look at the skills. So the skill of encouragement relies on noticing, just like all the other skills. Are y'all getting the pattern there? Composure, the download. Your hand went like this as soon as they looked. Assertiveness, we're focusing on what we want. Encouragement uses that skill of noticing. So first of all, we're going to shift from good job, which is my evaluation of you, or thank you, which is my appreciation of you, to you did it. We want to put the emphasis on the child. You did it. Remember, you language becomes I thinking. You did it, and the child says in their head, go, I did it. Okay. So, how many of you are good job people? Do you know? All right, how many of you are thank you people? Okay, so we give a child a command. Put your seatbelt on in the back seat. I mean, hop in the back seat and put your seatbelt on. Good job, which involves, in essence, we're saying, would you do that so I could judge you? Would you do it a little bit for me? Or the more direct approach is, sit in the back seat and put your seatbelt on. Thank you. Get your homework done now. Thank you. Hop, get in there and clean that room up. Thank you. And the biggest one, okay, you want to go pee-pee for mommy? Go pee-pee for mommy. I'm like, well, you know, they're not really peeing for you. It's coming out of their body. But see, what we're doing is we're making it all about us. Making it all about us. So see if you can feel the difference of this. Okay, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. So you're going to put your hands up in the air like this. And I'm going to give you an assertive command, like we learned in the last session. I'm going to say, put your hands in your lap, and you're going to do that. Put your hands in your lap. Good job. All right, one more time. Put your hands in your lap. Thank you. One more time. Put your hands in your lap. You did it. You did it. Some of you put them and crossed them like this. Some of them have them like this. Oh, and you put yours like this. Robin, yours are out like this. You did it. Now, could you feel the difference between the good job, the thank you, and the you did it? Yes. Heads are nodding, so you could feel the difference. So we want to, when a child even responds to a command, when they do it, we want to celebrate them. Look what you did. Not for me. It's hard to follow commands. Even in this filming, they're giving me commands, and I'm like, I'm over there micromanaging the makeup gal. I'm like, no, you can't. Here's Lily trying to do it. I'm like, that's out. I'm not doing it. You know, and it's like, so to follow a command takes a lot of willingness within yourself to let go of your agenda, to let go of what's going on. And that takes a lot for the children. You know, I was playing with these Legos and you want me to stop and do all this? That took a lot on their behalf to shift their attention, to stop what they're doing that they adored and go do something that's like, oh, please. So we need to celebrate that. You did it. Way to go. Good for you. And a lot of people say, well, okay, what about manners? What about just plain old please and thank you? Well, please and thank you are when we do request. So if I said, Mindy, would you run back into the back and bring me out a book? And she says, yes. You know, I would go, would you please run out and get me a book and bring it back? She does it. I say, thank you. Would you pass the salt? Please pass the salt. Thank you. Would you please scoot over a little? That gives you a choice. I'm either going to scoot over or not. I'm either going to go get the book or not, or you can find another way to get the salt. But when you ask for a request of someone, would you please, then of course it's a thank you. But when it's a command, it's a non-negotiable command. I mean, riding around without your seatbelt on is non-negotiable. So you have to decide what your non-negotiables are. And in a school, you can't say, okay, we all go into the cafeteria except for Robin back there who seems to want to keep playing, so we'll see you later. That's illegal. It's against the law, and it's unsafe. So it's non-negotiable. Line up. You did it. There you go. Some of you got your hands in a pocket. Some of you are like this. So the first thing we want to do is go with that you did it. Say that with me.
You did it.
Say way to go. Say, good for you.
Good for you.
So those of you who are good job people, if you start changing it from good job to good for you, it'll be easier to shift. And then once you get over that hump of that need to judge what people are doing, because you think if I don't judge them, they will never know right from wrong. Correct? And we just saw the movie where the child knew it at 3 months. So we don't have to keep telling them. We just have to support their conscious knowing. I'm going to read you these statements, and I want you to see if you think they are a command or a request. Just a kind of a little quiz now. So we're going to slow this down a bit. Malik, walk behind Jada in line. Command, yes. Malik, please pass this over to Jada.
Request.
Jada, it's time for circle. Come over and sit down. Malik, will you take this down to the office and please give it to Mrs. Carter?
Request.
Buckle your seatbelt so that everyone's safe.
Command.
It's time to come in. Line up at the door.
Command.
All right, we're ready. We're ready. And in a command, it followed by, you did it, way to go, attaboy, attagirl, any kind of celebration of you. All right, now the next one is, we're going to encourage children by focusing on all the things that they do that are helpful. And we're also going to teach them what helpful looks like and sounds like. See, now, if we had a little baby here, and we wanted to, well, I'll use something better for a baby. So if we had a little baby here, and you wanted them to know what a flower is, which we do, here's what we do with little babies. Oh, see the flower? See the flower? Who wants the flower? Who wants the flower? You want to hold the flower? Oh, let's smell the flower. Oh, look at the flower. Oh, yeah, you saw the flower. We go on and on about this flower in hopes that one day in the future, they look over there and go, fire? Yes! And we feel like, oh, my gosh, it's a miracle. So we need to do the same thing in the way we teach helpfulness. We got to go, oh! There's helpfulness. Oh, there it is. Oh, look at the helpfulness. Oh, it's over here, over. Helpful, helpful, helpful. That's what it looks like. That's what it feels like. Oh, looky. Here's what it sounds like. Look at, there it is. And the kids one day go, oh, well, that was helpful. And you're like, another miracle. So how do we do that? We use the formula you, and then we describe what the child did by noticing. So, how it helps another human being. And that was helpful. You moved over so the other child could walk by you. That was helpful. You held the door open so we could walk in. That was helpful. Now, you might say, where does she get all these kind of phrases? Well, here's the thing. this was done to us in the reverse. So how do I know that phrase is powerful? Because of what happened in the reverse. Here's what we usually did. See, if we did something bad, it would go, you. See, and I live here in Orlando, so tons of people come to Disney. And here it goes. You know, we saved for 4 years to bring you to Disney World so that you could have more than I ever had. And here you are whining the whole time, having me going, I can't carry this that you wanted to buy. So the whole family is miserable. Are you happy now? So when it came to stuff like that, you know, we had a great dinner, and then you came in here and started running your mouth. Your mother worked all day to fix this food. And you complain and you complain so that this meal is a miserable experience for the all of humanity. So what happens is we are very clear at describing exactly what you did when it's wrong and telling you how it's taken the whole world down. And then we usually tag it. See? Are you happy? So we put a tag on the end. And people know that. So what happens then when we grow up is like we're so scared of criticism. Not because we're taking it so personally. It's because we are genetically wired to know that we are a giant we. And I personally didn't get born to take the planet down. And so when they say you are ruining the family, you're ruining the school, you're making it hard for every other child to learn, that is that just goes right to our soul and just goes, I came to make a difference. I came genetically programmed to be of service, and you just told me I'm here to ruin things for everyone. So we take criticism very, very seriously. But when someone says something to you about something wonderful you've done, we go, oh, it was nothing. Or how good you look. Oh, this old rag. You know, we discount it because we have heard when you did something wonderful, great job. So that's all about you. When you did something kind, someone says, oh, that you're so sweet. And you're like, well, you didn't see me yesterday, did you? You know, so it's like we don't accept that. What if we could accept how valuable we are to the whole planet? That every moment you do something helpful, we all move forward. And the stuff where we make an oops, let it go. That's not the point of us being here. Our point is I made 6 inches towards a goal. And that's all I could do in my life. Some people ran, 100 yards and did all this other stuff and threw many passes. But I moved it 6 inches. All of us. That's a cool thing. So you blank, so blank, that was helpful. You started your work so others knew what to do. That was helpful. You crawled over to mommy. So I knew you wanted to play. That was helpful. Then the next thing we want to do is want to highlight children's unique skills and gifts. Remember, we're here to make a difference. We're here to be helpful. And you got to know where that comes from. You know, some of us are skilled in skateboard and we'll never learn to read. Some of us do this and we have phenomenal gifts. Some people make beautiful quilts. Some people do all this. I mean, and it doesn't have to be this world-changing thing. It's your gift. The idea is to find your gift and share it. So we notice that in classrooms. You finished all your work. You nailed that math. You worked through these problems just like this. You can explain how you do them. Are you willing to help Jenny? She's having a little problem. Oh, man, out there, you've got this soccer thing down and you flip the ball up, boom, did all this with your feet. What? And moved around, maneuvered around people like this when three were coming after you? Are you willing to go help Robin learn how to work with her ball, her soccer ball like that? So I'm going to say, wow, what a gift. I'm going to describe it for you and say, are you willing to go help someone? You really know what you're doing. Look at you. You come in there and you brush your teeth, you do this, and you floss every tooth. Are you willing to show your brother how to do that? And then when he say yes, what do? Wow, bam, yeah, we all over it. We all over it. Look what you did. That was so helpful. Woo! When I say that, bam, brain chemicals light up. And of course, the more we focus on, the more we get, and the neuroplasticity takes in place, and bam, we're building a different brain. See if you can feel the difference now. I'm going to give you a contrast. Feel the difference. Erica, thank you for cleaning up. Erica, you carefully matched the toy with the label and put it away so everyone could find you. That was helpful. Good job, Roberto, on your homework. Great job. Wow. Roberto, you did it. You finished all your homework before dinner. Good for you. Can you feel it? Super job, buddy. Ah, you the best. You the best. You did it. You came down the slide with your feet first. Landed in a big old squat and stood right up. Go show your sister. Go help her. She's coming down next. Now again, you see how I loosened the language? But I know my intent. And again, I give you kind of formulas to start you, to get you going, then you make it your own. Now, what are we going to do when a child makes poor choices? Because, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, this child's just been a mess since they were born. How am I going to encourage that? Again, if you focus on what you want and kind of move that way, you can make the one-inch encouragement there. But what if they made just a poor choice? Now, I don't know about you, but when I make poor choices, I already feel bad about myself. Anybody feel bad when they do it? And somehow or another, when it comes to this, we think, well, I feel bad about doing it, but I'm sure kids are fine. Well, the kids aren't necessarily fine. They know when they've made poor choices, too. Now, they might try to be defensive like us and smile it off. Well, all of us do well. Oh, look at that. I mean, just think about how you cover up a fart. Seriously. I mean, some people are like, hey, it was me. And some people are like, huh. So, are we going to go have lunch now? I mean, it's just, let's ignore it. I mean, and it's all an individual thing. But the children cover up their poor choices in the same way. Some of them laugh. Some of them go, you know, and we're like, you better take responsibility. And it's like, well, I have some defenses for my covering my poor choices, but so do children, is what I'm saying. So what are we going to do? Let's have Jenny and Mindy, would you come up? And I'm going to just put these two books down. And again, there's Schubert books and Sophie books that help with this. But I'm just going to go put these over here and the flower. So I'm going to have three things on the floor. And I'm going to ask them, actually I'm going to tell them, I'm giving them assertive command, to go pick up all three things and put them here. Now, what you're actually going to do is pick up two of them. Okay? So here we start. Jenny, Mindy, there's some toys on the floor from when we were playing. Pick up all three of them and bring them right back here and put them in the bin. There you go. There you go. You're doing it. Oops! You almost did it! Look! You almost did it! There you go! You got it. Right here. All right, thank you. Have a seat. Thank you for your help. Now, again, I thanked them for their help because they could have said no to come up here. Probably it would have been hard to say no, but they could have. All right, but did you see what I did? You almost did it. You almost had, you were this close. Line up in the door, making sure everybody has space, and they come in. You almost did it. Go back. Let's do it again. You can pull this off. My job's to keep you safe. Your job's to help keep it safe. Go back. Let's give her a go. You got this. You got this. As opposed to, Who saw the pushing? Did you see the pushing? Is that how we line up? or when they left one on the floor. Is that what I asked you to do? Is that what I asked you to do? Do you ever listen? I learned this in a workshop. I was clear, I was assertive, and I painted a picture. And look at you. You left it on the floor. So we can do this. Other ways of doing it. I am confident you can think of another way to solve your problem. I am so confident. Boy, ouch, that was hurtful. You can do this. You can figure a helpful way out. I know you. You can do it. Or as simple as this, keep breathing. You can handle this. Think, come on. What could you do now that would be helpful? Constantly shifting and moving this way. Remember, the goal line is over there. You're on the 1 yard line on the other team's side. We've got to get all the way across the field. And just because you lost some ground doesn't mean you're a bad person. It means you've got another play to work it out. Now, part of encouragement, which comes from the power of unity, which says we're all in this together, which has some structures that I've already explained to you. It also says we need rituals, some rituals, so that we can create again this sense of belonging. Now remember what belonging is. Belonging comes from a sense of personal value based on your involvement in a social system that finds you indispensable. You are indispensable to the whole. We're not all here unless you're there too. So, what are some of those rituals? Well, we've mentioned wish well many times as a skill, but it also is a ritual where you have all the people in your family or all in your school family, and they might be out here because they're members of that whole. And then when one or two are absent, you just put them in the heart, leave these, they're absent, and we wish them well. And kids adore this. They'll go home if you do this at school and they'll say, "It's okay, Mom. You know, my school family at school is wishing me well now. I can do this." And they might have strep throat or something. They're wishing me well. And of course, then you can wish anybody well that you choose. So we have that. So when a child is absent, we wish them well. But also, when a child comes back to school or when someone comes back to your home from a trip, because we're always leaving and coming, we can have the welcome back ritual. You've been gone and you've been missed. Where would you like your welcome back kiss? And people say, "Well, you know, that's a cute little thing for the little guys, but Lord, I couldn't do that in fifth grade." You know, and this one I'm going to have to mention, because in fifth grade, those children are 10 years old. Now, everyone out there who's a parent who has a 10-year-old, put your hand up. Or has had a 10-year-old sometime. I mean, you know, they're not 10 now, but they passed through 10. Now, I don't know about you, but it's because they're in a school that the highest grade is fifth grade. They look like they're so big compared to everybody else. But when those fifth graders go home at 10 years old, they're a baby. And everybody who's had a 10-year-old knows, "Oh, Mommy." You know, it's like, please. And it's almost the last time, because that's the end of that era. Because now we're going to move into puberty and it's going to shift from being your precious one to more of the group. The process has already started, but that's kind of the last time you get to, you've been gone and you've been missed. Where would you like your welcome back kiss? And you might get a little eye rolling, but they miss it if you don't. They miss it if you don't. So we add our rituals to our classroom and our morning message writer. Just a little message. You can do this at home. Wouldn't it be cute? You find a little sticky on your mirror? Huh? At the office, we send ours through email. But there's a morning message for us. Some of them are quite humorous, I must add. So watch this classroom who decided that being helpful, and they call it the fuzzy feeling inside, the warm fuzzy feeling inside of being helpful is greater than the rewards they used to get. And this is a group of first graders who voted as the first grade, weren't told by the teacher, voted to get rid of rewards and go with being helpful to each other and work it off of a kindness tree and using the ritual of a kindness recorder.
We were giving them rewards for different things that they were doing, like if they met their AR goal, we were giving them a reward for that. And we were also, for good behavior, we were giving them a reward for that. But then we found that just giving them something wasn't like giving them that fuzzy feeling inside. So what we did was we decided to change over. We talked about, you know, how treasure chests just give us something to keep and we don't have it forever. And so the kids decided that they wanted to try out the helpful wall, and we tried it out and they feel more fuzzy on the inside. And that in the afternoon we sit down and we talk about who's been on our helpful wall, and they give slight cheers. Yeah. And
so do you miss the good, do you miss the treasures? So
never. You know the fuzzy family.
Abigail, right there's the kindness reporter.
Yeah. I'm a kindness thing.
So Abigail, so you're writing down the kindness things. Mm-hmm. And so you like the fuzzy feeling better than stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that true for the whole class?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Raise your hand if you like the fuzzy feeling better than stuff. All right. Good for you. Good for you. So did you vote on this or?
We did. We talked about it and then we had a discussion and then we asked, I said, okay, well, how many of you would like to change over to the helpful wall? And we had a vote and it was pretty much the whole class wanted to try it at first. And then once we tried it, they were all.
They're all in.
They were.
These rituals that we do and using conscious discipline are very, very powerful. And again, it's that face-to-face rituals that are important. So watch this video to show you that these rituals are not just for little kids. They're for all ages, and they're essential for life at all stages. I Love You rituals are designed to build bonds between people so that each person in the interaction feels a sense of connection. Connection with parents, connection with teachers, and connection between children. This sense of connection creates a biochemistry that optimizes the function of our brain.
My name is DJ Betis.
Can you get on your knees?
Twinkle little star, what a wonderful child you are. With bright eyes and nice cheeks, talented person from head to feet. Twinkle little star, what a wonderful
child you are. Can I have one more?
One more bear hug for Mr. DJ.
Thank you so much.
With bright eyes and rosy cheeks, a talented mother from head to feet. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. I love you.
You know, what's amazing is how much emotion that brings and how beautiful it is at the same time, because the rituals that are part of this skill of encouragement that build this power of unity is such a deep, deep desire for all of us. Such a desire. And it all can be made manifest in our homes and our schools as long as we turn more face to face with each other. So encouragement is about noticing children for who they are, not judging them for what they do or what we think they should be or what we think they should do. It's a way, and it's a powerful way, of offering unconditional love in a time where we also are going to be setting limits. So they're not going to like the limits we set. You know, you can't, you know, play with the hammer and beat your sister. There's going to be limits on your behavior, and that's going to create upset. So there has to be one of these seven skills in there that says, this is about you and all that you do, whether you make a poor choice or one that moves us all forward. You've got the power within you, and I'm going to show you the way. So let's look at our commitment for this time. So think of an animal that best represents you right now in this moment. Hold that animal in your hand. I'm going to open our safekeeper box. And if you are willing to consciously choose to use noticing combined with encouragement to shift from good job to good for you, to help children who make poor choices go, oh, you almost did it. Toss into our commitment ball. I will catch it again in my heart because we're all in this together. Put it in our commitment box. And until next time, I wish you well.